from Hollywood, front and center. The United States Army and Air Force, in cooperation with the National Broadcasting Company, presents Front and Center, starring your mistress of ceremonies, Dorothy L'Amour. And now, Front and Center, your MC...
Bob Hope reporting.
That's all, brother. Get out of here, Bob Hope. I've played second fiddle to you and Crosby long enough. This isn't Variety Girl, you know. This is a Dorothy L'Amour show. Dorothy L'Amour singing, Dorothy L'Amour acting, and Dorothy L'Amour emceeing.
Okay, Orson.
Is that a great part?
Hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Coming up front and center tonight are Henry Russell and the orchestra, the crew chief's quartet, and our special guests, Bob Hope, that's right, and Lloyd Nolan. But first, we'll start off with a tune from the land of the samba, Brazil.
Brazil, where hearts were entertaining June. We stood beneath an amber moon and softly murmured someday soon. We kissed and clung together then. Tomorrow was another day. The morning found me miles away. Recalling thrills of our love, there's one thing I'm certain of, return I will to all.
Very much. And now for our first guest. It's someone you've been waiting to hear for a long time. Ladies and gentlemen, we proudly present that great entertainer, that famous star of stage, screen, and yo-yo, that grand old man from Paramount, Bob Hope. Bob, front and center.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Grand old man. Thank you, Dame May L'Amour. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob, front and center Hope, telling all you guys to join up and see the world with Uncle Sam now that the spam has been changed to lamb. But don't forget to use the product I sell and your teeth will never go A-W-O-L. I'm happy to be here. I like working for Uncle Sam. In fact, I've been doing it for years. And I want to tell you, that's the finish of that. Don't sit up yet. We'll tell you when. My brother re-enlisted in the Army, and he got his old rank back, Schmo, first class. I better work this way. He's all right, though. He could have been an officer, but he had a bad habit. He kept filing his bars. You may find something in it. I think it stinks. But anyway, he was sent back from overseas. He was caught smuggling a Hopalong Cassidy picture into England. When I got back to Hollywood, I found out all they were talking about was British pictures that even dropped the H from the Hollywoodland sign. There's a great joke if you're going north on Gower Street. And I came back to find all the Hollywood stars are wearing longer skirts. All of them. In fact, Lassie hired a plastic surgeon to add 3 inches to her tail. But things are about the same. The musical world hasn't changed much. Dorsey is still the king of swing. Goodman still swaying. I understand. I understand Benny Goodman is taking up the bass violin for protection. He's going to play from the inside. But I had a wonderful vacation. I went down to South America to improve our relations. I came back for the same reason, but I had a wonderful time. It's a silly time to come in. I'm half through, brother. You have to stop at the bar first? This audience is staggering in. Anyway, I went to Rio and had a miserable time. It never rained once. But when I was in Brazil, go ahead, catch up. When I was in Brazil, they took me around to see all the plantations where they grow the coffee. Then we took our shoes off and tiptoed over the plantations where they grow the sanca. I got a bad sunburn on the boat ride back. I learned my lesson next time I'm taking a stateroom, but I had a fast trip home. I wanted to get back and copyright my new 1948 calendar. You know how the old calendar showed Washington crossing the Delaware? My new one shows Washington not daring to cross Howard Hughes. But I'm glad to be back. Hollywood is such an interesting place, really. I went to the Greek Theater the other night, and they have plays there. I always thought it was Spira Skurs broken as ushers, but I really enjoyed it. Spira Skurs, that's a name, you know. For years, I thought it was a tropical disease. But I went to the the Hollywood Bowl the other night, too, for Margaret Truman's concert, and you should have heard the uproar on my way in. My parachute almost didn't open. I was terrible. I had a very good seat right next to a flying saucer, and they found out that one of the members of the orchestra was a Republican saboteur. There were no valves in his clarinet. In fact, he had the only clarinet in the world with built-in Dewey buttons. Thank you, third party. But I'm really happy. Really happy to be working on this show with my favorite brunette, Miss Dorothy L'Amour.
Thanks, Bob, and welcome back from South America.
Well, hello, Dottie. Well, say, you're looking wonderful, same as always.
Thanks, Bob, and you're looking, same as always.
Nice country through there, too. Say, that's... But I feel wonderful. There's nothing like a little rest, you know. Even President Truman wanted to take a vacation, but they figured Jose Iturbe couldn't handle the paperwork. By the way, Dottie, who's your sponsor here?
Why, Bob, the government's a sponsor.
The government, huh? Tell me, is that easier than paying taxes the regular way? Well, what happens now in the show?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we usually have a brief dramatic moment at this point. Tonight we'd planned on the balcony scene from Romeo and Juliet, but at the last minute, Bob Hope insisted upon being Juliet.
It wasn't that. I merely said I bet I'd look good in the new long skirts with padded hips and the flared peplum waist.
Well, you've got the padded hips.
Seriously, Dorothy, these new long styles had me very confused while I was up all night letting down the hemline on my pedal pushers.
Pedal pushers? Bob, you should join the army where you'd really get built up.
Dorothy, you know I'm in good physical shape. You've seen me in my swimming trunks over at Paramount.
I sure have.
What are you breaking up about?
Bob, the producer took one look at you and got the idea for Mother Wore Tights.
Crosby's playing Mother. Say, he was coming over today, but he's home counting. He may make the loan to Britain. Say, Dottie. We got time? I hate to mention this, but since you're a friend and this is an Army show, I haven't been paid, you know. Of course, I'd settle for anything simple, like a little kiss. Just anything before I take my leave, huh?
Oh, Bob, you ought to be ashamed. Always asking girls for kisses. You're too attractive a man to have to beg for kisses.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Man of your position, a star in pictures and on the radio, shouldn't have to beg for kisses.
Yeah.
It'd be different if you were unattractive.
Yeah.
Then you'd have to ask girls for kisses.
Yeah.
If you were a drip, I'd feel differently, too. If you were a drip, I'd kiss you. And can't you say something besides, yeah?
Bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop.
you, Bob Hope, and don't you care what Bing Crosby says. You just go right on wearing that nose. And now... And Hal, give me front and center.
Here's news on the Air Force's aviation career plan. Under this plan, high school graduates from 17 to 34 may qualify for and be assured of attending an Air Force school of their choice before they enlist. Get that, fellas? You pick your subject and your school before you enlist. Now, let's say that you want to be a specialist, a top-notcher in any one of the many important fields of aviation. All you do is visit your local recruiting officer and ask for your application blank and choose any three specialized courses. Write them on the application in order of your preference. That's all there is to it. When your application is approved and you're selected to take the course you want, you may enlist in the Air Force for 3 years. And after a brief period of basic training, you start right to school. Check into this, fellas. Your U.S. Army and Air Force recruiting officer can answer any questions you have about it and can help you start the ball rolling toward a great career in the great field of aviation. And remember that new high Army pay begins the very day you enlist.
And now we come to our second guest star. He's one of Hollywood's most reliable actors, a man who has never yet turned in a performance that wasn't outstanding. Ladies and gentlemen, Lloyd Nolan. Lloyd, front and center.
Lloyd Nolan, reporter.
Lloyd, I haven't seen you since we worked together at Paramount on Wild Harvest. It's swell having you with us.
Thanks, Dottie.
Tell me, is 20th Century Fox releasing a new picture of yours?
Well, the picture I just finished won't be showing for a while. The big news at the studio right now is that they just released Kiss of Death.
I hear it's a very exciting picture. And now, Lloyd, would you set the stage for your story, a scene from Gene Holloway's American sketchbook, The Schoolmaster from Connecticut?
Gladly, Dottie. The schoolmaster was as American as his birthplace, Coventry, Connecticut. He lived for a principle, freedom. And one day, when he was 20, he died for it. He started that day, the last day, much as any other. He rose, washed, then he moved over to the table, lit a candle. He sat down, drawing his paper toward him. He wrote three letters. The first, "My dear mother, I had hopes to spend another hour with you before the last hour, but you know why that is impossible. What does a man write upon at a thing like this? What does he say? What is there to say but thank you? Thank you for the years you have given me. Thank you for the stories I grew by."
Robin Hood was the bravest man in all England. He wore a suit of Sherwood green, and his bow was slung across his shoulder. He was the strongest of the strong.
Thank you for Robin Hood and King Arthur. For hours when the fire burned high and we roamed, you and I, across the mountains and the plains and the high seas of adventure. And thank you, too, for all the mornings of my life. Winter mornings with the snow sifting from the clouds and the warm, friendly smell of breakfast.
Son, breakfast on the table. Hurry now.
For spring mornings.
Wake up, dear. It's Saturday. What would you say to a picnic?
How wonderful it was to be young in America and to belong to you. And thank you, too, for evenings.
Bedtime, son. Hurry along now. It's 8:30.
The warm, comfortable feeling of my hand in yours. The safe, sure way you tucked the covers about me and the Madonna look about you as you blew out the candle. And thank you, too, for guideposts and for the words that were those guideposts.
My son, when you say, "I am an American," you are saying, "I am an individual with great personal liberties, and I will guard those liberties and keep them the proud, shining things they are, no matter what the cost."
Wonderful words for a boy to grow by. Words you had to measure up to. So thank you for words and for ideals and for memories. Whatever is good within me, I owe to you. I wanted to say all these things the day I took my leave of you, but the words came harder then. And we actually said so little, do you remember?
Son, just what are your plans?
Well, I don't know definitely what there are. There's some information needed. I'm going after it.
Behind the enemy lines?
Yes.
When must you leave?
Tonight.
Tonight. We'd best hurry then. There isn't much time. There's so little time.
All day to pack, and then a moment to hold you close, to say a quick goodbye.
God bless you. God bring you safely home.
And to go off down the road, to turn and wave at the top of the hill for the last time, and then to go on alone. And only now do we know that that was the last hour and the final farewell. And so above all else, thank you for teaching me how to live, because you taught me by the same token how to die. With all my love. He wrote three letters. The first was to his mother. The second was to a girl, a Miss Adams of Canterbury, Connecticut. He sat for a long time before he wrote. Alice, my darling, let me start by saying I love you above all women and will forever. Dear, it is almost dawn, but I am on the threshold of my longest night. I've been spending these last hours counting memories and reliving them. You remember the day we met? It was one of those sudden miracles. I only needed to look in your eyes once to know that here was the beginning and the end of all things to me. You know, I can remember the first words you ever said to me.
How do you do? I'm so glad to meet you.
It's strange how little phrases can catch in your throat and how the loveliest memories become the most unbearable. I made up my mind right then to ask you to marry me, but it took a few weeks to get up the courage. You were in the garden. You had on a white dress, and there was a blue ribbon in your hair. And your name was Juliet and Eloise and Helen, and you were my heart forever.
I shall be honored to be your wife.
Some words a man is proud about forever. Were my hours multiplied by years, I'll not forget them.
You know, I have to keep a very stern check on myself. I keep wanting to run up to people I've never seen before and say, I've found someone who has the kind of smile that goes straight to your heart, and the kind of eyes that you get lost in, and the kind of arms that can shut out the whole world or gather it in.
Oh, my darling, I love you so very much. So very much, Alice. Only a few days between the evening of acceptance and the evening of farewell. Only a few days that were to be our whole lifetime together. You remember that last evening we climbed a hill and the stars were brighter than any stars had a right to be. But for the first time, we had no heart for stars.
You're going to be a spy?
Yes. That's what it comes down to. You see, there is no safety anywhere when one nation aims its guns at another nation's freedom. Liberty must be defended to the death, and not at all. It's conquer or be conquered, Alice.
Oh, darling, darling. Freedom and liberty are only words to me.
They're only words at this moment, Alice, because we're young. We have great plans. But none of those plans can add up to happiness unless those words do have meaning.
I'm sorry. I'm really very proud of you. You know that.
Goodbye, Alice.
Goodbye.
You stared at me a moment, your head back against the wind. And then you turned and ran down the hill into the darkness, running inevitably and finally away from me. That was our farewell, that moment on the hill. And yet, remember this. There will be promises and lips again for you, but my heart will know only your image all through eternity. So goodbye, my darling. He rose restlessly. The stars were already fading. Dawn was an eternal thing, too close at hand. He must start the third letter. My dear General, to have failed you is the greatest sorrow of my life. You know how much I wanted to succeed. I would have followed you anywhere that hour I looked into your eyes and looked at history.
Captain, your record is admirable. But you're very young. I wish you weren't so young.
I shall serve you the better for it, sir. I promise you.
Very well. I'll give you your instructions. You will disguise yourself as a Dutch schoolteacher. The information you are to get, you will write on thin paper and conceal between the soles of your shoes. Now then, here are the plans.
You know by now the details of my capture. I was brought here to enemy headquarters, branded a traitor, and condemned to die. They said the usual things.
It is too bad you saw fit to fight for a lost cause, Captain. But there is a way you can redeem your life. You have only to lead us to your headquarters.
You're wasting your time.
You surely are not foolish enough to think your country stands a chance of winning while she's fighting a world power.
We know how to fight. We've been fighting ever since we came to this country. We fought Indians, snow and heat and pestilence and starvation. You're trying to conquer a frontier people. We climbed the hills and took the plains beyond them. We reached into the soil with naked fists and wrested a living from the earth and rocks. We set our homes upon this land. We'll fight to keep those homes. Our children will grow to a manhood under a free flag, and their children after them. We'll kindle a fire of freedom that will blaze forever. I will die, and perhaps thousands like me. But America will keep her flag in the wind and her pledge of freedom with it. He wrote three letters. The first signed, Your Devoted Son. The second, Your Own Nathan. The third, Respectfully, Nathan Hale. Already the sun was slanting through the bars. Already there were footsteps in the corridor. The key turned in the heavy lock, the door grated open, and then the last voice he would ever hear beckoned him into silence.
Are you ready, Captain?
Yes. One moment before the final moment for those words that would ring down the centuries. I only regret that I have but one life to lose for my country. Nathan Hale died in New York City 170 years ago, a 20-year-old school teacher with an unshakable faith in America and democracy. He died facing west, facing a western wilderness of river and mountain and plain that was to become a nation that spanned two oceans. He died facing west, facing the first train, the first automobile, the first aeroplane. He died facing west, facing Gettysburg, Pearl Harbor, Guam, Corregidor, Iwo Jima, facing battlefields and outposts that were to be branded into American history, where many more would sleep, who would also give that one life in defense of country. There are no words big enough to express what should be said to them. To the grocery clerk from San Francisco, the doctor from Peoria, the lawyer from Spokane, the school teacher from Coventry, Connecticut. No words, only a solemn gratitude for the knowledge that we can say, I am an American, only because they died to give us the right to say it.
Fine acting, Lloyd Nolan, and we'll be seeing you around. Now, once again, Hal Gibney, front and center.
Young men, how'd you like to travel and get more education at the same time? You can, and get paid for it, too. For example, you can enlist now for 3 years in one of the famous infantry divisions of your choice in the Far East, and the Army will help to continue your education in Japan or Korea. Yes, sir, in the Far East alone, more than 75,000 GIs are studying everything from English literature to business administration through the United States Armed Forces Institute. And besides that, the infantry has some mighty fine schools of its own, teaching leadership, motor mechanics, radio repair, and many other technical specialties. And when you serve overseas, that high Army pay is increased 20%, free and clear of expense for food, clothing, housing, medical, or dental care. Fellas, this all adds up to one of the biggest opportunities ever offered to America's young men. Get the full details first thing tomorrow morning. See your local Army and Air Force recruiting officer.
By this time, you've probably all seen Paramount's movie My Favorite Brunette, which starred the poor man's Carmen Lombardo, Bob Hope. The title song turned out to be pretty catchy, so now Henry Russell and I'd like to do it.
Hold it, Katherine Burke. I sing too, you know.
As I said, let's do it.
Get away.
Oh, no. Bobby Hope was a boy who liked girls with raven tresses. He thought every girl just for him saved her caresses. He figured that the duty of each brunette beauty was to run to him for necking at his every bark and beckon. Here comes this lonesome male, and here's his pitiful tale. He said,
I will date Rosie, 'cause Rosie is cozy, and she's my favorite brunette.
But Rosie that summer was dating the plumber.
She turned out to be all wet.
He said,
I'll make Rosita that sweet senorita, my brand new favorite brunette.
But this hot tamale was flirting with Charlie by clicking a castanet.
Dark-haired Tilly was silly over Willie. Tilly and Billy were kind of Jack and Jilly.
Then he met a redhead, but she was a deadhead.
And what can you say to a blonde?
Are you kidding?
I tried using my noodle and bought a black poodle.
His brand new favorite brunette.
But she loved a spaniel, name of Daniel.
That was the payoff, and so he went way off. He hasn't stopped trying yet. He was last seen in Tibet, you bet, chasing another brunette.
Got Pally with Sally Mae O'Malley, hugging and chalking while we were out a walking. Again, I had to lose out. Someone blew a fuse out. And what can you say in the dark?
How old are you?
Tell me, how about you, babe? Will you be my new babe? My brand new favorite brunette.
The kind of man that I demand must have a lot at his command.
I'll learn a lot of parlor tricks and get advice from Dorothy Dix.
And will you buy me diamond rings and little $1,000 things?
I'll give you lots of Cadillacs to go with every pair of slacks.
Well, let me know when you get there. Then you'll be my favorite brunette.
Front and Center is presented each Sunday at this time by the United States Army in cooperation with the National Broadcasting Company. This program is written by Bill Dansch and produced and directed by Glenn Hall Taylor.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.